All right, looks like we're working. Well, thank you, Jose, for those kind words. I could think of a few more descriptive adjectives for myself, but I'll go with those. I like those. Man, I'm thankful to be here. It's been an interesting week for myself, my family. First and foremost, I'd like to greet each and every one of you. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and those that are live streaming, one of them is my wife. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in. And I'd like to apologize. I wasn't here this morning. My mother's dog passed away. She's out of town, so we had to take care of that this morning. So I was actually sitting right up the street at the vet for 2 hours. They were really busy this morning, but it's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate situation, but Jack is the name of the dog. He was old, and he was a good dog. So hopefully my mom is okay. I talked to her today. She's good. But, you know, it's kind of like a family member. You know, we have an animal that we love, and those things happen. And, you know, that's not all the only unfortunate thing that transpired this week. There was a situation earlier in the week that we had to tend to as well. That involved a car and my daughter in a desert and a barbed wire fence. And that was quite the adventure as well. So yeah, there's these things that are happening. And, you know, it's interesting because as I get older and as these things start to unfold, and I deal with them, there's a calmness that comes with that. And I'm thankful for that because, you know, this world is full of chaos and there's all kinds of crazy things that are happening every day in our lives. And I thank the Lord for bringing that calmness into, and that spirit of his, that calming spirit of his into the lives of his children that trust in him and that follow after his son, Jesus Christ. And you know, my message today, I wanted to start off, and I just wanted to read, because these things happening and the season changing, I really thought about Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and I put this in here just a short bit ago, because this just really sums it up. And it says, to everything there's a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. And I titled my sermon today, A Few Simple Steps. And I'm not going to get into details about anything that is going to be really involved. It's going to really be some simple steps for the individual that is looking at the scriptures and looking for God in their lives. And I thought this was important because, you know, even though I'm here today and I'm preaching to the choir, there's people, and I was thinking about this, there's people that will probably, hopefully, in the future be going through and looking for something, looking for the truth. And looking for that truth of the gospel and for God in their lives. And, you know, in one of those places where, you know, where do I start? Where do I begin? And as I was thinking about that, you know, it's really nice out. We just opened up all doors and windows and, oh man, I just love this time of year. Pumpkin spice everything all day, every day. And I can't get enough of it. And I'll get burned out probably in a couple weeks. But one of the things I really, really appreciate is the changing of the leaves. We don't really see that in Phoenix. You kind of have to get out. You have to get up 6,000, 7,000 feet to really be able to appreciate that. When my brother and I went fishing a few weeks back, the aspen trees were starting to turn to their yellow leaves. And I will never forget a young man that I was with, and he's actually right here. It's Aiden Moser. And I remember, Aiden, when you called it an aspirin tree. So every time I see an aspen tree, I think of Aiden Moser because he called it an aspirin tree. And I love it. And I love it. But I do love the changing the leaves, the colors of that. And I started looking into it. And I really wanted to be able to correlate this process of the leaves shedding, this autumn leaf and the shedding of them and the color changes. And one of the things, you know, I never really looked into it, you know, why does this happen, you know? And I want us to be able to relate that, this process, to these few simple steps. And we see things, and a lot of times we take things for granted. They happen. God shows us the beauty of the earth, the things that transpire. But when we really get down into the details, there's a uniqueness to these processes of such as the leaves changing color, why it happens, what it does, and what it brings forth. And it's really pretty neat. And so I just I did a little bit of studying, you know, Wikipedia. I didn't get into the in-depth science of it, but in general, the leaves drop off the tree as a form of self-protection. And they call it a deciduous species, and that means it sheds its leaves annually. And one of the reasons why this happens is because, as we all know, leaves are tender, right? And within the leaf itself, it has all these cells that produce, they have chlorophyll in them, and they generate photosynthesis. And if in the winter, if these leaves didn't shed, what would happen is those cells would freeze and they would rupture during the winter, therefore leaving an open wound, thousands upon thousands of open wounds on a tree, and it can bring in death to that tree. So this tree pulls back its sap and it goes through this process to be able to shed those leaves to protect itself. And so another reason why, if the leaves were to stay on the tree through a lot of places where there's heavy winters, this would cause a lot of weight to be on the tree, and the tree couldn't sustain that weight, and it would break a lot of limbs, causing wounds and injuries. But we know that this chlorophyll, what happens, we know that that's what produces the photosynthesis, which feeds the tree. But once that chlorophyll stops being produced by that tree, the pigment starts to degrade. And it reveals these beautiful colors of reds, yellows, purples, oranges, and the orange and yellows actually are caused by carotenoids. And those, that's like another form of a chemical that's within those leaves. It's a pigment that is brought out when the chlorophyll, which is green, goes away. And you know, these reds and purples, these orange and yellows, there's something that is a sign of the tree going into a self-protective state. And one of those things is that when it does this, it goes dormant. We know that. And then as spring comes around, what happens? This tree, the temperature change, the time of day increases, and the tree, as God created it, senses this and starts to bud and form new lives. But another thing that happens to the tree throughout the summer is it provides food for insects. So a lot of times insects will get all over the tree. Like even in my backyard, I have ants always going up in the tree. They're eating leaves. So you go by the tree, you're probably going to get bit by ants. And it's a food source for a lot of things. But, you know, as things are munching on all these leaves, it's causing damage to the tree as well. So it also has to replenish. And I was thinking about this, and I really enjoy the beauty in that. And I look at that, and I think about, you know, these things that are transpiring on a cellular level. Not like a cellular level like T-Mobile or Sprint, but like so small the eye can't see. And these things are happening, and there's a reason for it, and there's a purpose for it, and it's to bring forth life. And those leaves that fall off, by the way, they actually go down onto the ground and they actually turn into nutrients for the tree. as the rains, the snows melt, those leaves decompose, taking all those nutrients, putting them into the earth for those roots to take back that which was dead and bring it back to life. And I thought about that and I was like, wow, how interesting is this? Because, you know, for me in my life, seeing, you know, what I've been through and the decisions I made and the things that were so corrupt and of no value, how when I started to reach out and call upon God, how these things changed my life, how I started to have this hope. And so I wanted to go to the next slide, and all this started because of the gospel and the words of God that were given to us for us to be able to have. And it says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And so, you know, as I do tend to my trees themselves, and I have this hope that this tree is going to be healthy. It's going to grow in the next season. It's going to produce shade. It's going to produce shelter. All these things. As I thought about this, and you know what, in relation that these trees have that are similar to our spiritual life, you know, and as we take in that light of Christ and we produce it, those things that are no longer of any value to us, that we shed those off and that we spring forth and that we create new life within us and we bring new life to others around us, because that word has an impact on us. That word starts to produce hope, and it starts to produce things that will preserve us in this day in which we live. It'll feed us. It'll give us that nutrients. And we witness, you know, these trees and how they go through this cycle and the beauty of it. And at the same time, if we look at the children of God in throughout the scriptures, what it has done for the children of God, God's awesomeness and how he takes these things that, you know, if I put it out there, we can't physically see all those things that have gone wrong in my life. We can't look at ourselves and actually physically hold those things that have gone wrong in our life, those sins that we committed. Some we can, but deep down inside of us, those things that have affected us, you know, how the scriptures have helped us be able to shed those things and come to a new hope, a new life in Christ. So we don't stop having that hope, and we believe no matter what, because God proves to us that through this hope that we have eternal life. And you know, it's kind of like one of those things that I look at and I see where having hope leads people, where it takes people, how they get there, especially when they're humble before God, when they're doing these things that the Lord puts on paper for us to see and to read and take within and to apply them, to have them upon our heart and to have that hope grow. You know, it's like the light at the end of the tunnel. We can see where we want to go. We can be able to look ahead. It can help us be able to get through the chaos that's in this world. It gives us encouragement. It helps us press towards something good. It gives us motivation. And one of the things that when we start to take these words in that God gives us, this hope that we have, it helps us in our desire to serve. And when we have that desire to serve, I believe, and I've experienced that it increases our happiness. There's a joy that comes with following after Christ, and that motivation that you get to continue to move forward, it's a part of the process. It's the part of the process that we see and we know and we feel and we touch something that's good that God has given us, and have a desire for more, and it gives us more hope in doing so. And so I wanted to read in Psalms chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. It says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. And so this is a picture of West Fork in Oak Creek, just north of Sedona. I believe I shared this picture. This is from 2020, I believe. I believe that was 2 years ago. And we really enjoyed this day. And I really saw this opportunity here to just take a perfect picture. This is a perfect picture of a path that leads to something good. You see all the beauty in it, and you see, and like with the new iPhones, like if you push on the picture and you hold it, it actually kind of moves for a couple seconds. It's like a little video. I don't know how they do that, but to this day, if I hold that video down, you can actually see the leaves falling. The leaves were actually falling when I took this picture. It was really awesome. And so I use this picture for a purpose. And it's because one of the first things that we need to do, we start to establish that hope in God and in his word, how it's touched us, how it's moved us, how we know that we can get to a good place, is I think about that. And one of the things we need to do and to help people out is to establish and identify the path that we're looking to travel on. And if we're looking to travel on that path that Christ has led, that he has put, that he has given the example in, then we're going to find that joy and that happiness and the blessings that come with that. And I wanted to read in 2 Nephi chapter 13, a couple of verses there. It says, verses 24 through 26, it says, for the gate by which you should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. Those things, those sins that you carry within you, inside you, through your life, those things are shed, just like those leaves off that tree that's protecting itself. God's coming into your life, and those sins will be shed away. And then are ye in this straight and narrow path, which leads to eternal life? Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye enter in by the way, ye should receive. And I think about that. You know, it's sometimes in our life, it's a tough decision to take a step in the right direction. Especially with the influences that are in our lives, the struggles that we go through, the baggage that we carry, the troubles that we deal with, the chaos that haunts us day in and day out. And there's a goodness in God's Spirit that comes to us when we're willing to take those steps down the right path. It says in James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And so that's something where I correlate trust goes with, hope goes with faith, and faith goes with trust. And one of the things that we need to do as we develop that hope and we're wanting to take the step down the right path is we need to stay on course. And, you know, what is it that keeps us on course with God? It's trust, and we believe in him. We trust in him. We trust that he's going to take us to the right places. And so 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. So that trust and that belief is there, and we have to establish that, and God's going to show us the way. And so we have to start to trust him. We have to take those steps down the right path, the path that God leads us to. And I did a little bit of studying on trust. And one of the things I found with trust and what it related to, and a lot of the searching that I did, was how it is the foundation of a relationship. So in a couple, the foundation of the relationship is built on trust. And it's one of the main reasons that relationships fall apart. And this trust that we establish with God, it's an undying trust. There is, we put all the trust in the world with our relationship with God. And he's going to take us to good places. He's going to help us be able to see. He's going to help us be able to overcome obstacles. He's going to help us be able to shed those things in our life that are dragging us down, that are tearing us apart, that are left open wounds, that are left open. He's going to be able to help us heal those. That's what trust does in God. He helps us be able to have comfort. He helps us be able to control our emotions. It helps us be able to have that motivation to move forward, to be able to understand that there's that light at the end of the tunnel. But we have to develop that personal relationship with God. We have to trust and we have to believe in him. I have here, I thought this was a good little caption or picture to express kind of what God was showing me. You know, all these things, integrity, sincerity, reliability, consistency, commitment, competence, all these things are surround trust. And all these things God provides through our trust in him. And I wanted to give an example of an individual, Nephi. It's 2 Nephi chapter 3, 61 through 65. We know this is where Nephi is praying to God because his brothers want to kill him, and he's laying it all out there to God, and he knows that God will take care of him. And he says, "O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh," in relation to the other scripture that I read. "Yea, my God will give me if I ask not amiss. Therefore, I will lift you up. I will lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness." And we know that the Lord, I'm going to jump down. I'm going to read also verses 7 and 14 through 15. And so the Lord, you know, he was praying to the Lord, you know, that he had his trust in him. And further down, it says, "The Lord warned Nephi that his brothers were seeking to kill him and told him to depart in the wilderness. And if we jump down even further, so he took the family of Zoram, his family, and departed into the wilderness, grabbed their stuff, and they got out of there. And we know that the Lord took care of him. And in 14 and 15, it says, "And we did observe to keep the judgments and the statutes and the commandments of the Lord in all things, according to the law of Moses. And the Lord was with us, and we did prosper exceedingly, for we did sow seed, and we did reap again in abundance." And so, you know, the Lord took care of him and the families that were trying to avoid being killed and from Laman and Lemuel. And they prospered. They prospered in the land. And it's interesting because, you know, when we trust in God, all these things, we can actually be able to look back and see that once we establish that trust, once we put it out there, put ourselves out there, establish this relationship, how God changes us. But we know that there's an adversary out there that wants us to think just the opposite. You know, when he comes, Satan comes in many ways to deceive us. He tries to do those things, take those things out of our life, those good things, and make it seem as if there's no goodness in anything that we deal with. And so he comes in many shapes, forms, sizes, through many different temptations. And, you know, we could be deceived. Any one of us could be deceived at any given time. And so he's very subtle. He's very subtle, and he does things that appeal to us. And sometimes those things are really difficult for us to deal with. But, you know, we have to have that awareness. We have to have that hope and trust and believe in God and take that counsel for him to help us be able to overcome those things. And so, you know, as I was saying, I'm going to go to this next slide here. Warning, do not trust. Now, this is a very hard, difficult thing to deal with. To, you know, I really want to trust this dog, but I will not leave out my shoes. I will not leave him unattended. He's a very young and very conniving little puppy. He likes to get into things. He likes to chew on things. And I just wanted to put this up here just because, you know, Satan does things to us. And sometimes, you know, it looks so good, but it could be something that's bad for us. But that's our new puppy. And that's Lincoln. But, you know, what do we do? What do we do in these situations with this young animal? We train him. We bring him up. We show him love. And we teach him the right ways, what to do, what not to do, just like we do with our children, just like what God does with us. You know, there's things that we can't do because God tells us that is not what he designed his plan for. So we have to believe, though. We have to believe in God, and we have to believe that he's there to care for us. And it all starts that within yourself. You have to believe in yourself to be able to know that you have the strength to be able to overcome all these things, to be able to have the strength to endure. And what do we believe in? Here's the basic starting point of it. Mosiah chapter 2, 13 through 17 says, believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. You know, Satan, he wants us to not do any of this. He wants you to feel incapable, alone, abandoned, helpless, ashamed. He doesn't want you to be able to recover from any of those things that haunt you from your past, that really dwell in the back of your mind, that you always circle back around to, those prior sins that drag you down. But I wanted to read an inspiring scripture here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 15. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. You know, that counsel from God, that belief in those things that he can change us, helping us be able to see that which is ahead, those things that are good, those things that we should be reaching for, you know, so we can see the beauty that God has to offer, that our sight isn't blinded by the things of the world, that we're not distracted by all those things that are around us, that we're really focused on what God has to offer and what it does and how it changes us all the way down to that cellular level. You know, our emotions, our behaviors, our demeanor and our attitude, how it changes those things and brings forth new life within us that we can really show and be a light for others because we have what God is willing to give, as long as we're willing to reach out and to reach for those things. And, you know, sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes time, so we have to have patience. Romans chapter 5, 3 through 5, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. You know, I think about that a lot. I think about those things that I really should be shameful for, but through the forgiveness and the atonement of the body of Christ and what he's done, how he's offered himself on the cross for all those things. It says here, hope maketh not ashamed, you know, but we have to understand that, you know, when we're going through life, this patience, this process in which we go through that, which we take upon ourselves, those steps are important, because the last thing we want to do going through life is crashing and burning, you know, not following after God or starting to get on that path and then just completely be diverted off the path. And so one of the things that we know that this patience does is it helps us be able to have experience. And one of the things I wanted to relate it to is everybody knows I like the mountain bike. And there was this one trail. I actually rode it yesterday. And there's this one portion of a trail. And I'm going to show that to you in slides to come. And I'll point that out. But one of the things that's important, whether you're on a bicycle or a motorcycle, is when you're coming into turns, right? You need to be very careful when you're coming into turns. And I say in life, you know, life throws us curveballs all the time. You know, we have turns, we have dips, we have all kinds of things that we go through. But these turns, one of the things that is important that as you're going into a turn is you're slowing down. That's one of the first things. If you see a turn coming up, you're slowing down. You're applying the brakes. And as you enter into the turn, I do this now, and your eyes remain level and be focused on the farthest visible point in the turn. So you don't look at the turn in your front tire, because what's going to happen? You're going to wash out. And I've proven that time and time again on my mountain bike. And it's on this one trail. I have a picture of it on here. I'm going to show you guys here in a couple slides. But every time, you know, I would be coming down this hill. Life is good. I like to go fast on my mountain bike. And it's right at the bottom of the hill. There's a 90-degree turn. And I'm always trying to get into that turn and get around that turn as fast as possible. And one of the things that I used to do before I was experienced and had patience is I get into it really aggressive, load the front brakes up too much, the fork would compress, so the shock in the front would compress. I'd start to turn, and that the handlebars would just keep turning, and I'm just looking right in front of me, right on the ground, where my face is going to plant, usually an elbow or a hand. But, you know, you go rolling, and you're like, man, you know, every time that corner gets me. But over the years, I probably run that trail, I don't know, maybe 100 times. No, not 100 times, probably 50 times now. And now I but through patience and through understanding of the pain and suffering I could go through with that turn, I've learned to do things in a manner that would protect me. And so is, you know, these trials and tribulations that we go through. Having that love of God within us protects us, helps us be able to get the experience we need to not travel down those roads again, and to instruct others to not do the same things. And so one of the things that I thought about is, you know, this patience and impatience and what it does. It causes, you know, for me, in my example, bodily harm. And frustration and anger and pain and anxiety the next time I would approach a situation like that. But, you know, this whole process of having hope to be able to do it correlates and ties together with patience. And one of the things that really can tear apart our hope is impatience. You know, it can really be destructive to our beliefs, our hope, our trust, our faith in God. You know, being impatient can do that. But, you know, through experience, through life, through these trials and tribulations, if we always have God with us and we're humble and we follow after Him, He's going to be able to give us the experience, that wisdom, and help us be able to go the distance, to be able to get through life. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And so, you know, having that patience, we just need to follow after God and not be diverted, not get too in front of ourselves, not putting the cart in front of the horse, because that causes all kinds of problems. So, in Alma chapter 17, verses 82 to 83, it says, "The way is prepared, and if we look, we may live forever. And now, my son, see that ye take care of these sacred things, yea, see that ye look to God and live." And this is Alma speaking to his son Helaman. I'm also going to read verses, I'm going to go up a little bit, read verses 71, 73, and 76. And he's speaking to Helaman, giving him good advice. And he says, "Now, my son, I have somewhat to say concerning the thing which our fathers call a ball, a director, or our fathers called the Lihona, which is being interpreted as a compass, and the Lord prepared it. And behold, it was prepared to show our fathers the course which they should travel in the wilderness. And it did work for them according to their faith in God." And in verse 76, it says, "They were slothful and forgot to exercise their faith and diligence, and then those marvelous works ceased, and they did not progress in their journey. And so as we're going through life, you know, the way is prepared. God prepared the way. He's given us the map. And if we follow after that, the Lord will care for us. And we know here that this was Lehi and Nephi and the families, that when they weren't diligent in keeping and following after the Lord, that their progress in their journey would not continue. And so, you know, it's really interesting. I look at that, the Lihona, and I really love that, because it's kind of like technology way back when. And I wanted to share this slide, because I'll come down here. This is technology today, and this is all captured through this device right here, this watch. And so what I really like about this is that path, that trail. This is Apache Wash Trail. And so this trail here, it kind of gives you everything. This was actually yesterday morning at like 9:30 in the morning, and it was a beautiful day out, and I went out there. And you can see the start and stop point. This is right up in North Phoenix here. There's Carefree Highway, Dove Valley Road. Jose's ridden this trail with me. It's a pretty difficult trail. This one's pretty difficult. It's almost, I think it's 12 miles almost, 11.59 miles. And I burned almost 800 calories. Here's the temperature outside. Here's my heart rate. The speed and elevation. So if you look at the elevation, total descent was 931 feet. So I got to descend 931 feet. That's not all at once. That's tracked through your elevation here. You can see where I've gone up and down. And if you look here, this correlates with the speed in the blue. Those are my different speeds. So I slow down when I'm climbing, and when I'm descending, I'm going fast, which over here, you see in the blue and the greens, that's pretty much I'm just climbing. I'm going really slow. And right here is the fun spot. And you can see it goes from red to a little tiny bit of orange. That's a little brake check, to red again, because I wanted to go really fast, and that's that corner right there. I'm sorry if you guys can't see it. There's a corner right there. I need a laser pointer, where I always used to eat it on my bike. And you know, this graph, you have your average speed. My max speed was 20.3 miles an hour. So I was going down this whole section right here is all downhill. This is a real blast. This is where, like, it gets really fun for me. People look at me like I'm crazy, but that's where the good stuff is. But down there at the bottom, it goes down right into a wash and up and out of a wash. So you have to really be careful. And I really like this whole portrayal of what transpired yesterday. Like, I get excited about this stuff because it kind of helps you be able to see where you're at, what you're doing, and what's going on. All those statistics. And so, you know, one of those things I look at is, you know, like the Liahona, what it did for these people, where it took them. You know, that was a piece of technology then. And I look at a piece of technology now that I wear on the watch, and it does all this stuff. It's really fascinating. And I think about that, and I think about how the Lord knows that I can't even comprehend. Like, these are good statistics of that activity, but the Lord knows every single moment, every single cell, emotion, thought in my entire life from beginning to end. And I just can't comprehend it, but I'm just fascinated by it because of that type of capability and how it's with us and it cares for us and he loves us and he knows us and he desires for us to follow after him and to be with him. How neat would that be? You know, he knows every cell on a tree. He knows every blade of grass. He knows every one of our thoughts and our emotions, where our heart's at, where our thoughts are going. And I just stand in awe and give glory to God because he gives so much in our lives that we take for granted. And, you know, these types of things, these technologies that man develops doesn't even come close with what God can do for us in our lives. And so, you know, one of these things I also wanted to show is that this is a difficult trail. I would say on a scale of, for the city here, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say it's about a 7 because it wears you down pretty good. It wears you down. And, you know, we read a lot in the scriptures where, you know, it says to press forward, to endure. And right at the end over there, you know, when I'm getting back over here, you could see in the green here, this is where I'm coming back. These are two mountains here, right there. And we're coming back out of the mountains. Boy, I tell you what, after you've done this loop, you've come around and you're coming back right there. I've had hard times before. It's really, it's been really difficult. And sometimes I've even gotten cramps and, you know, really had to push through it. But, you know, such is life. We push through those things and God is there to help be that wind in our sails, to give us strength in doing that. And, you know, just imagine how God could lead us through life if we allow him to. What he can do, what mountains we could climb, what valleys we could cross, you know, and all those things. When I'm riding this bike, I'm never looking back. I'm always looking forward, especially when I'm up there at that 20.3 miles an hour. I have nothing in my conscience or desire to have myself look back. And that's how in life we've got to take those things that we're ashamed of, that we struggle with, and just put them behind us. Think about what we need to do and how God can help us be able to get to the goal, to be able to help us overcome and accomplish. And then we can look at all those statistics and give God the glory in doing so because he'll prove it to us. It's having that belief, that trust, that hope, and the patience and letting him work within us. And it says in Proverbs, chapter 5, verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So those decisions that we make, you know, we have to have a clear understanding that, you know, statistically, God knows all these things that are going on. Make good decisions. Stay on course. Psalms 34, 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. And so that's really important that we understand that, that no matter where we're at in life, you know, we talk about, I wanted to say this too, no matter where we're at in life, the Lord is there listening to us if our hearts are opening to him. And we read in the scriptures how the path is straight and narrow. I look at this as a prime example of my life compared to God's path. God's path is straight and narrow. Look at Gary's path in his life. This thing's all over the place, right? It's all over the place. But God, you know, he takes us through life because we're going to have all these mountains and these valleys, these corners, these turns, the mud, the rocks, and all these things, all the dangers that come with that. You know, there's a lot of things in life that can really do damage to us, but here's a few things for us to be able to share, to keep in mind for those that will be listening in the future. Just work on these few things here. Hope, trust, and believe, and have patience, and this build this relationship with God. And just like with the autumn leaves, you know, all of those things that come to a time, there's a time for everything. And if we give the Lord time, these things that we have had in our past that transpired that we may be ashamed of, that might be dragging us down, that Satan really wants us to carry with us, we could shed those things and they can no longer be a part of us. And then that faith, these things are just a few things that lead to that faith, that awesome relationship with our loving Father, and how he can bring forth a new life within us. And those things, the buds and the ability to grow and to learn and to understand, it's a wonderful thing. And I hope that, you know, in life, you know, if anybody's path is similar to this, and you've experienced these things, you've crashed and burned a few times, just remember that when you hope, trust, and believe in God and have patience with his Spirit and let it work with you, that he will take you to that goal of everlasting life. So thank you. God bless to each and every one of you. Thank you for your time.